You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to a very special From the Depths of the Air Canada Centre. Yes, it's still Air Canada Centre. I don't like to say the new name. Locked On Podcast Network crossover. It's rare we get to do this, but the Milwaukee Bucks Locked On host, or at least one of the two, is here. Also covered for The Athletic. It's Eric Name. What's going on, buddy?
Nothing much. For everyone that's going to be listening to this for Locked On Bucks, let me do this real quick. Welcome to Locked On Bucks. Sorry, I had to get that out of the way real quick.
No, that's perfect.
Just want to make sure everyone feels at home as we're doing a crossover podcast.
Yeah, I'm not Frank, but I'll try to fill in. We've done podcasts before, back when they played in the playoffs. They should know you. Your listeners should know me, at least, dulcet tones. The Raptors just lost the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks just beat the Raptors 105-92. Look, man, it's a regular season game, so I don't know how much I want to get that, like, up in arms about it if I'm a Raptors fan, or how much I'd like to revel in it if I'm a Bucks fan. Maybe you want to. Revel all you want, I guess. But there was a lot of stakes coming in. There was standings. There was tiebreakers. There were, you know, I guess the weird flip-flop of the tie at the top of the conference is now dealt with, at least for now. The Bucks are a game and a half up. And they have, I think, three games in the loss column now on the Raptors. This was a big one for standings purposes. And the Raptors kind of duffed it, man. It was not an encouraging performance whatsoever. The starting lineup in particular, Nick Nurse kind of called a note after the game, saying that the starting lineup, while great individually, all of the guys, all the pieces in it are pretty good. They're not really clicking right now, and that's fair criticism. They've not been clicking the last little while here, and kind of showed tonight. The only guy in the starting five who really had, like, an efficient night was Pascal Siakam, but a lot of that came with playing with bench units. What was your, I guess, takeaway from this game above all else? What was your sort of thing that you're walking away from?
I mean, for me, it's literally, going into it last night on our podcast, I said, this game is huge. Mm-hmm. I think it's undeniably huge. And, you know, I had a number of Bucks fans. I ran a poll on Twitter today that, you know, pushed back on it. We're like, you know, it's just 1 of 82. Like, it's, you know, it's a fun test, but
are they all coaches?
it's not a huge game. And, you know, the thing that I
see you guys stop on
that. Yeah. And the thing that I kind of kept going back to was whether or not you want to say this is a huge game, or whether or not you think the tiebreaker will ever come into play, because it very well might not. Mm-hmm. And again, to have two teams have the same record after 82 games, not all that, like, it's not going to happen all that often. Like, yeah. I understand all of that, but just the idea that this Bucks team came into the Air Canada Center and beat the Raptors twice, mm-hmm. and obviously beat them a third time when both Giannis and Kawhi were out, but the fact that you have that going into the playoffs, whether or not you end up as the 1 seed, whether or not the Raptors end up as the 2 seed, 3 seed, 4 seed, wherever either of those teams end up, mm-hmm. you know you can come in here and you can beat the Raptors.
Yeah.
And you can beat the Raptors at full strength. Lowry played in both games. Leonard played in both games. I should say Jonas did not play, so Valanciunas not in this one tonight. But, you know, you came into the Air Canada Center and got wins. Mm-hmm. And that's difficult. Yeah. This is a really tough place.
The last two Raptors home losses to the Bucks.
Correct. Yeah. And they had just won 10 straight at home. So they haven't lost in a while here. And the Bucks just came in and took care of business tonight. And like I said, maybe it won't matter. But the fact that at the end of the year, the Raptors know they don't just have to tie you. They have to get over the top. You essentially add an extra game to your cushion. Mm-hmm. You go out and you have this confidence. And I mean, for me, it's really hard not to see this as a huge game. And it's a huge win for this team. I was arguing with Matt Velasquez about this a little bit tonight, but I don't think they're going to have a bigger regular season game.
Yeah.
Like, they have one against the Celtics coming up, but I don't think that's going to be bigger. Like, I think these are the top two teams in the East, and that's how it's going to play out this year. And to have that advantage over them is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like, just, like, the psychological aspect as well. Although, I wonder if, because the Raptors maybe, you know, have a bit more experience, because they have Kawhi and Danny Green, guys who've been there, Serge Ibaka. Kyle Lowry's obviously been in the playoffs many years in a row to varying degrees of success. But,
sure.
I wonder if maybe the psychological aspect of, like, the Raptors kind of having it over the Bucks would have been more than, say, the Bucks holding it over the Raptors. You know what I mean? Because I feel like the Raptors, it's really weird because I feel like the Bucks right now resemble a lot of what the Raptors were last year, right? Where it's like this team no one really expected to be that good, and they're just so obviously kicking the piss out of everybody and are pretty undeniably the number one team in the conference right now. But I still, even when I watched the Raptors, and there were a couple stretches of the game tonight where it was, they had those moments where it's like, oh, damn, like this team is really, really dangerous when it wants to be and when things are clicking. And I think they were down like 24 at one point and cut it to 6 within like 5 minutes or something like that. And those are the kind of stretches where, if I'm a Raptors fan, those are the stretches I'm holding on to and saying, hey, like this is a team that has a very high ceiling. Whether or not they hit it all the time, I'm not sure it matters just yet. They're still working guys back in the lineup. Still no Jonas Valanciunas. Still Kawhi and Kyle, having gone pretty much a whole month last month without playing with each other.
Yeah.
I think it's still a bit of a feeling out process there. But like, I think Raptors fans, if my timeline is to be believed, you know, a lot of them are pretty pissed off right now and are kind of concerned. Before we get into some more Bucks-focused stuff, let me throw to you. You know, looking at the Raptors, is there anything that about how the Raptors played tonight, how they played recently in games you've seen of them, that like is giving you some pause about their status as one of the top two teams in the East?
No, not really. Yeah.
Hot takes here on this Locked On crossover.
But like I said, I mean, maybe my hottest take is that these are the one and two teams in the Eastern Conference. Like, I don't know that everyone agrees with that, because people always want to put the Sixers and always want to put the Celtics in. Yeah. And, you know, I've said throughout this entire season that there's two teams that know themselves well, and are playing like they know each other. Mm-hmm. And it's the Raptors and the Bucks. And again, as you've mentioned, the Raptors have had injuries, they've had some ups and downs, but overall, they know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They trust Nick Nurse. There's a level of comfortability there that they can just kind of get through all of this. So, no, not really. Like, I mean, I think Kawhi is still incredibly difficult to cover.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I see him, I think, good God, that man is strong.
Yeah.
And
he had one possession tonight where he, like, got it knocked away from him, recovered it, like, pushed it ahead of himself, regained his dribble, drove for a lefty finish, and it was just like, okay, yeah, you could just do that when you want. That's wild.
There was a pull-up he had on Brogdon where he did that kind of patented Kawhi, like, it's like, push, 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 and then all of a sudden just stop.
Yeah.
And Brogdon goes, like, 5 feet, and it's like, Malcolm Brogdon, he's a big dude. Like, mm-hmm. Malcolm Brogdon is strong. Like, this isn't like a true point guard. You just push that far off, and dudes just bounce off Kawhi. Yeah. So to me, he's really impressive. Lowry, like you said, up and down, but I think he's very good. And then, you know, tonight, I think not getting to see Danny Green for more than 12 minutes.
Yeah, he had the bit of the poops from apparently. That's what I hear. So,
not great for him. Not a fun night for him. And then every time the Bucks play the Raptors, Siakam goes up. He had a career high 30. He had, I think, the second highest in his career at 28 tonight,
yeah,
if I remember correctly. So he's had his two best games against the Bucks, so that should be terrifying. Yeah. And then essentially what these games always tend to come down to is how good Serge Ibaka plays against the Bucks.
Yeah.
And tonight he was 4-for-15, and he got a bunch of open looks, including a corner three that the Raptors got exactly what they wanted late in the fourth quarter, and he just missed.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, nothing about this Raptors team surprised me. I don't really have a lot of questions about them. Yeah. I think they're very good, and they're going to be very good for this whole year, and the Bucks are going to have to deal with them for whenever they see them in the playoffs and for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think if I have any questions right now, it's maybe just kind of been spawned in the last 20 minutes since Nick Nurse talked, because he sounded kind of alarmingly concerned about the starting five, which for me, like, has been a lineup that I've been pretty comfortable with all season.
Sure.
But like, there were some possessions late in this game after the bench kind of brought the Raptors back in it. The starters come back in with Fred in place of Pascal Siakam, and there were like 3 or 4 possessions in a row where nobody moved on the Raptors offense. Like, full possessions where it's like they're passing like it's water polo, just like stagnant, just like tossing it around. They ended up getting a couple shots out of it somehow. Fred hit a three. Kawhi had that crazy drive as well during that sequence, but just like not much in the way of fluidity, not much in the way of off-ball action. That's a little bit concerning to me, but at the same time, like, I keep coming back to this, and I have for the last couple weeks. Whenever Jonas Valanciunas is back, at least to me, like, it's going to be fine. Serge Ibaka played 39 minutes tonight because the Greg Monroe experience is very much, it's run its course. He played 1 minute tonight, got yanked, and did not come back in again. In that 1 minute, I believe he got cooked by George Hill on a switch, and that was about it. Giannis came back in. Pascal came in and played backup center, which was great. Let's see that more often. Let's get rid of the Greg Monroe minutes. Hopefully he's not around the corner. I feel bad, but because he's got nice eyes and he seems like a nice fellow, but man, he is not working right now. And I think once Jonas Valanciunas comes back, he was hanging around tonight. He practiced all week. It sounds like he's working towards a comeback within the next week or so. Once that comes back into the Raptors lineup, there's going to be just... Ibaka's not going to have to play 39 minutes against tough competition the entire night. He's going to get to rest. Valanciunas is going to cycle in, and I'm a little bit more confident that's all going to work. From the Bucks side of things, what the hell? The DJ Wilson is a thing now? What's going on?
Yeah. First off, I can confirm Moose is a great guy. He's the best. From his time in Milwaukee, he's the absolute best. But yeah, I mean, DJ Wilson, I don't want to say won the Bucks this game, but he certainly swung it in that direction. Just the fact that he had struggled. It looked like when they played in OKC on Sunday, I thought for a second, okay, the DJ Wilson story was fun. It was nice, but maybe these more athletic teams, these better teams at the top, maybe those moments will be too big for him, especially in a place like OKC. It's just like this, very loud, and it's a lot for a young guy to take in. And, you know, I thought to myself, okay, maybe there's some questions here. Like, maybe you have to worry about this a little bit. And then he has that great game against Detroit, and then he follows that up here tonight with a career-high 16 points, hits some huge threes, and really just, I mean... We talk about it on Locked On Bucks, but, you know, he's just kind of the guy that comes in and takes care of business. And it's really important because Ersan Ilyasova is starting to look more shades of washed as the day goes by because he only plays 6 minutes tonight. He did not look good in those 6 minutes.
Typical Raptors destroyer Ersan Ilyasova as well.
Yes.
Nice development if you're a Raps fan.
Yeah, no, he was not good at all tonight. So you get some huge minutes from DJ Wilson. And, I mean, that's one of many things that stands out, especially in a game where Giannis has foul trouble the entire night. Or I should say the entire second half. But he picks up four really quickly. He picks up his fifth, 50 seconds into the fourth quarter.
Smart play by Siakam as well. Just like, he almost like willed that foul. I'm getting fouled here, and it's going to be great.
Yes. No, he was going to get that foul. Yeah. And, you know, when Giannis goes out most nights, I shouldn't say that the Bucks can't handle it, but in this moment, as you're thinking about this team in this arena, for the Bucks to be like, no, Giannis, it's all good. We got this. We're going to win this game. And, you know, that's exactly what they did. And DJ Wilson was huge and a big part of that. But I really thought Chris Middleton tonight. 7 of 9, 18 points. You literally, I don't know if you could be more efficient if you tried. 4 assists, 6 rebounds, 2 steals. And in that fourth quarter, they were out of sorts. As Giannis went out, and you could tell the first possession or two, they were trying to figure out, what the hell are we going to do? The Raptors are coming. We're not 100% sure how we're going to get through this. And Bud talked about it post-game, but he said essentially we just simplified everything and said, Chris, it's your show.
Yeah.
Go to work. And there was a sequence where I honestly don't know if he added to his stat sheet at all during the sequence, but every single possession started with him. He broke the defense down in some way, and then he would kick it either to the opposite corner, the opposite wing, and then that would mean Bledsoe was attacking a closeout. That meant Brook Lopez was attacking a closeout. That meant Malcolm Brogdon was attacking a closeout. And we talk so often with the Bucks in the past about, you know, you have Giannis that bends the defense the first time, and then you have second side attackers. And so often I think Bucks fans like to think of Middleton as a second side attacker. That, okay, Giannis or someone else can bend Bledsoe can bend the defense, and then Chris can attack that. And this was, Chris is the guy. It is his moment, and he is going to attack right now. Yeah. And the Raptors know it. The Bucks aren't running anything fancy. There's no misdirection. It is Chris Middleton with the ball in the middle of the floor. Let's go.
Yeah.
Like, let's see what you can do. And every time he was getting some sort of advantage, kicking out and getting them back on track. And, you know, I thought that was kind of the moment where, Sean, you may or may not know, Bucks fans tend to question whether or not Chris Middleton plays well in big games, if he's a good enough number two. I'm sure you've probably had conversations like that about Kyle Lowry maybe at some point.
Yeah, once in a while, DeMar DeRozan. Sure. Yeah, no.
So
similar boat.
You've had those conversations before. The Bucks fans have those about Chris Middleton. And, you know, I just thought tonight was kind of the perfect example of why Chris Middleton is so damn good. Mm-hmm. Like, 7-for-9, crazy efficient, keeps the offense moving. As things are going wrong in the fourth quarter, he just kind of calms everyone down and says, okay, mm-hmm. I got this. We're going to make this work. And then defensively, he made as many shots as Kawhi Leonard tonight.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard took 20.
Yeah.
Chris took 9.
Yeah.
And Bud mentioned it post-game as well, but Chris spent a whole lot of time on Kawhi. It wasn't all the time, and, you know, Brogdon pitched in and other guys pitched in, but when you saw those other guys pitch in, all you could say was, not big enough. Like, they're not big enough. Like, yeah. Kawhi had that fourth quarter layup that went right through Brogdon's shoulder. He had that pull-up that I talked about in the first half as well. Like, he was getting buckets on guys that weren't Chris Middleton, and when Chris Middleton was in, he was working his ass off.
Yeah.
Like, he had to try to go straight through it. And, you know, to me, when you look at this game, I think a couple of the things you have to remember is Giannis 5 fouls.
Yeah.
DJ Wilson stepping up in a major way. And then Chris Middleton on the night that he gets his first All-Star appearance, letting everyone know, this is why.
Yeah.
This is why right here.
For sure. I want to touch on Middleton and some matchup stuff in just a sec, but let's remind everyone to check out the Locked On Podcast Network on Twitter and Instagram. If you follow at Locked On NBA Net or at Locked On NFL Net, you're going to get all the hosts from each of those networks just retweeted into your feed. You don't got to go follow all 60 hosts or whatever it is. You're going to just going to get the premium basketball-related fresh podcast, live tweets during crazy trade reactions like was going on this afternoon with Dallas and New York and the Lakers and the Pelicans and all that stuff. It's just going to be retweeted right into your feed, so follow at Locked On NBA Net or NFL Net on Twitter. And on Instagram, just little snippets of the biggest stories of the day, little 30 to 60
and
second
there's some
clips.
Good ones.
Probably some Bucks or Raptors. Maybe this is on there. Maybe you're listening. Maybe you're hearing this on the Instagram post. I don't know why there would be the advertising about the Instagram post on the Instagram.
Probably
but
unlikely, sure, yes.
You can definitely check it out, and you'll probably get that nice little way to liven up your Instagram feed with at Locked On NBA Net or at Locked On NFL Net as well. All right, Middleton, I think, is an interesting guy to kind of pivot off of because it seems like he is sort of the swing dude for this matchup, and there's a lot of different, a lot of things kind of come off of him. And so I talked about this yesterday. I was talking to Jordan Trescott behind the Buck Pass, and we were talking about sort of how the Raptors are using their defensive resources against the Bucks. And I think tonight it wasn't really anything steadfast by any means. Like, there was a lot of Kawhi on Middleton, Kawhi on Giannis, whatever. Yeah. I hated all the possessions where Kawhi was guarding Giannis because it just feels like a waste because no one's stopping Giannis. There was one, Giannis had the big drop step on Kawhi and he went up for a dunk. It was like, yeah, like it doesn't matter. Kawhi's a great defender. It's just not going to matter against Giannis. And I think, I don't know, I'm wondering how you think about this in terms of just like the matchup. Say this is a conference finals matchup down the road. What do you think is the smartest way to defend the Bucks? This is the age-old question of like, you know, do you, like, let Giannis or LeBron or whoever it is get theirs? Or do you sort of focus in on your guys, other guys, and sort of allocate your resources that way? And because the Raptors have a Siakam or an Ibaka or an OG Anunoby who barely played tonight, but he's still there, to maybe throw at Giannis and just be a body in his way, do you think it's smarter for Kawhi to just sort of hang out and try to shut down Middleton because of all the things you just said about what Middleton is to this Bucks team?
Last time the Bucks and Raptors played, or maybe it was two times ago, Middleton had, I think, like a night where it was like 14 points, mm-hmm. 6 or 7 assists, and a couple rebounds. And everyone's just like, oh, you need more out of your second guy. And, you know, like you could look at the matchup data and see that, well, Kawhi had him 80% of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, for me, that night I was arguing with Frank, I was like, you know, I don't want to say that I'm automatically just going to say Chris is going to have a bad game because Kawhi's covering him. But if we're not putting that in, like, if we're not factoring that in, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the best defender on the planet covering you should mean you're probably going to have a worse game.
Mm-hmm.
Other than if you're superhuman in Giannis. Like,
in
Giannis's case, like, he's probably going to work through it. He's also probably a little bit too big for Kawhi.
Yeah.
He's gotten really good at those post moves. You mentioned the drop step hammer he had on him tonight. Like, I just don't think Kawhi is going to be able to do anything with that. So, it's actually interesting that I don't think of Kawhi as a Giannis matchup at all.
Yeah.
And it, just because Giannis is so strong and so big, and he can play through so much contact that even someone as strong as Kawhi Leonard, he's just not going to feel. Like, he's just gotten really good at using his footwork, using his pivots, and working through guys that I think you do have to go Middleton. And then, I mean, there's certainly been times where I think Siakam has bothered Giannis. I don't want to say he shut him down, because that's not a thing that happens.
No.
But like, there's been times where he's been frustrated against him, and Ibaka's had moments against him as well. And
OG might be the best of all three of them against Giannis. Like, last year he had some moments that
agreed.
Were like, oh, okay, sure. 19-year-old boy. Like,
no, 100%. Yeah. All three of those guys are the bottom. To me, that's how you defend Giannis. Is you don't give him the same look all night long. You throw multiple looks at him, you throw multiple players at him, and when all those guys kind of get a chance at him, it makes him think every time he has the ball. And the worst thing that you can have with Giannis is that he's simply reacting. Because if he's simply reacting, that means he knows what's going to happen. That means he can think a couple steps ahead. That means he's going to put you under the rim. He's going to put it on your head. Like, that's just how it goes. Mm-hmm. So if you can make him think through all of his rotations and think, okay, what's he going to do here? If you're getting some of that, that makes it a lot tougher on him. Again, you're not going to stop him, but you're going to make it tough on him. And that's more than half the battle with Giannis.
I'm kind of surprised we didn't see more Giannis on Kawhi tonight either. I mean, most of the fourth quarter crunch time, he was guarding Siakam.
And it's funny.
Sure.
I actually just had this conversation with Matt Moore when I was in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
But Kawhi and Giannis are very different defenders.
Yeah.
Kawhi is going to be shut down one-on-one. Like, you are not scoring. Like, I'm Kawhi Leonard. I have you. You're not scoring.
Yeah.
Giannis is not that at all. The big problem with Giannis is, like, he's obviously he's the Greek freak, so he has massive limbs.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's trying to cover on the ball and you throw a ball screen at him, like, he's probably going to hit that screen.
True.
Because he can't get through it. Like, his body's just too big. Like, there's too much stuff to get through. So all you want him to do is just destroy the world on the backside.
Yeah.
Like, just hang out on the backside. Have someone that you can play off a little bit. And I mean, that's why I think Siakam so often against the Bucks can kind of get off, because they're just giving him practice threes that, hey man, that's yours. Like, Giannis isn't going to cover you out there.
Yeah.
He's going to try to stay close to the rim if you get those shots. So, I don't think Giannis will really ever cover Kawhi. Like, that's just not something the Bucks do.
Mm-hmm. It's such a fascinating matchup. Just like, there's so many weird intricacies. Like, where does Danny Green fit into all of it defensively when he's not got the runs? Norm Powell. What do Bucks fans think of Norm Powell? They can't love him.
No. There was a lot of, I mean, obviously there's a lot of bad feelings with Norm Powell, because the Bucks had the pick that was Norm Powell.
And OG also, don't forget.
And OG as well.
How did Grievous work out? Where's Grievous now?
I'm shimming somewhere, I'm sure. But those two are sore subjects for the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Norm struggling in the last year or so.
Yeah.
When he was hitting like 48% of his corner threes,
Bucks
fans were really, really mad.
Yeah.
And now they're like, okay, it'd be nice to have that pick.
Yeah.
But they're not as angry. It also probably helps that DJ Wilson's actually playing and playing well.
Mm-hmm.
And Sterling Brown's been playing and playing well. And Malcolm Brogdon's been fine. Like, all of that helps. But no, there are still lots of sore feelings on both of those picks.
He's only good against the Bucks, as it turns out. Although he feels like, I don't know, 10 straight games, he's had exactly 10 points, which is pretty much all you need from Norm at this point.
That's
pretty
good.
Actually been like the only source of like consistent, reliable
second. If you're playing 25 minutes a night, you get 10 points.
That's
very helpful.
I want to ask you, what are your thoughts on Fred VanVleet? Because this has been a thing Raptors fans have been like hammering their heads against the table all year long for. And so I think Nick Nurse is a fine coach. It's his first year. I don't know how good a coach he is. We're 53 games into it. We'll see. But there have been some things recently that have kind of bothered me. And in particular, and in fairness, part of it tonight was due to Danny Green going out early and Fred coming in to play with the starters. But what is your opinion of how Fred looked with the starters? Because for me, it's like pulling teeth. Because for some reason, with Kyle and Kawhi on the floor and Pascal, they keep having Fred initiate everything. And he just dribbles it into the dirt for 30 seconds. And it's just, okay, I'm done with this. I'd like to see him play with the bench unit, where he was actually pretty good tonight. I don't know. How did you view that as someone who maybe hasn't seen that phenomenon play out?
For Bucks fans, that sounds like the Dele dilemma. the Bucks used to do that all the time, where they'd for some reason, I shouldn't say for some reason, they needed some minutes at point guard. They'd bring in Delly, and then instead of letting their good players initiate, they would let Delly initiate, and then essentially teams would just say, that's the guy you want to initiate? Okay, sounds great. He can hold onto the ball and dribble it into the ground. We're not going to let these other guys touch the ball. Yeah. And I think largely that's what you're speaking to in many ways, is that, you know, teams are just going to say, okay, fine. Yeah. You want Fred Van? Yeah. Fred can have the ball. That's totally cool. So, yeah, I would agree. There didn't seem to be a lot of chemistry there, which, you know, it's kind of strange thinking back to the last time these two teams played when Lowry was out and Van Vliet just destroyed the Bucks.
Yeah.
He just absolutely killed them. But it is probably, you know, adding one more personality into it, one more person that wants the ball, and then everything kind
it
of
invites
goes
just like less optimal things than could happen if you just let the best players on the floor have the ball in their hands. So if I have an issue with Nick Nurse, it's that, you know, I had a couple people talking to me tonight about like his lineups and stuff, and like, yeah, he's trying some weird stuff out, right?
Sure.
He's got to. And I think it's fair to criticize when he goes back to stuff that doesn't work, because the whole thing about this season is like trying stuff out to see if it works, and if it works, stick with it. If it doesn't, try to throw it away. And lately it seems like he keeps going back to stuff that we kind of know doesn't work. And you know, it's a tough thing to manage, right? Because last year people were so mad about Dwayne Casey not ever trying new things, just like the same rotation every single game for 4 years. And like Nick Nurse is obviously quite the counter to that. I still think he's in the process of figuring things out. And like, look, man, they're still working dudes back in. They still haven't been totally healthy. Maybe that excuse runs dry at some points. But like, it's just, I think some time needs to be given there. But that is one thing, if I have a real gripe with, it's just like, stop inviting that to happen. Have Fred just play with bench guys. One more for you. Thon. There was no Thon-tario tonight.
There was no
25-point, 6-3 performance from Thon.
There was not.
He's requested a trade.
Yes.
Is he going to get traded for Marquise Chris? Like, what's going on here in the battle of the most hilarious trade requests? What's going on there? Should Raptors fans put to bed their fear of Thon destroying them at a later date in the playoffs? Like, what's going on here?
Thon will not get traded.
No.
He has no leverage, literally none.
Yeah.
The Bucks have no reason to trade him, and when you look at their upcoming summer, the entire starting lineup needs a new contract, and that includes Brook Lopez, who is going to get quite a raise.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get paid quite a bit more money, and you know, as you think through all of that, well, if that's the case, maybe the Bucks can't afford him.
Yeah.
And you know what has really been good for the Bucks this year? Someone that can shoot threes at the five.
Yeah.
And that would be Thon Maker. And again, he won't do it to the same level as Brook Lopez, but he's one hell of an insurance policy where that could really help out. So Thon will not get traded. I honestly tweeted out tonight, and I've talked about it on the last couple podcasts, but I think his team totally misplayed his hand.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would have played certainly tonight. Ersan was that bad.
How could he not play tonight? He destroys the Raptors every time he plays them.
Yes.
he is the Bucks norm.
No, he is a Raptors killer, no doubt about that. But, I mean, in the last week, Ersan's been especially bad.
Mm-hmm.
Previously, like the last month or so, he's been not good. And, you know, as those things start to pile up, Bud has shown the whole year, except for Ersan to this point, that he'll go to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
He'll bring someone else in and give them a good long look. And I think Thon, in the last three or four games, would have got some run, but he requested that trade.
Mm-hmm.
And because he did it publicly, now all Bud's going to do, like, Bud isn't going to set the precedent that if you complain about your playing time and then I play you a day later,
mm-hmm.
well, it may not be the case. It may just be that more playing time was needed for you. What are people going to say? Like, oh, if I'm not playing, I should publicly request a trade and then Bud's going to play me? Like,
mm-hmm.
that could be the look. And I don't think Bud is going to give Thon's team that satisfaction. And again, that might be stubborn. That might be foolhardy because you're playing Ersan, who's actively not playing well at the moment. But I do think that that's kind of the message being sent right now, that, hey, you can't act like that and expect to play.
That trade request carries about the same weight as, you know, when you're playing the show and you're doing your road to the show and you get traded from like the Reds to the Rays and you're like, I don't want to play for the Rays. I'm going to request another trade. And then there's like, haha, idiot, you're going to go to single A now.
Yep.
That's kind of what it feels like a little bit with Thon. So we'll see how that all works out. We will see how this whole matchup thing works out, hopefully sometime in the playoffs. That'd be fun.
I would.
You've been here, like, the coldest week in the history of Mars.
Funny enough, my Uber driver, when I first got into the airport, he was like, oh, man, I hope you didn't come from somewhere warm. And I was like, actually, I came from somewhere colder. And he was like, that's impossible. I'm like, really wish it was, because it was negative 50 with wind chill in Milwaukee. So I'm not going to say it was balmy, but I could actually go outside here, so that was okay.
Yeah, this was pretty much the weather that was here for All-Star Weekend, and then like a week later, it was 12 degrees Celsius, so like 50-something Fahrenheit. Yeah. And everyone's like, no, it wasn't. You're lying. You're just trying to make it seem better. No, seriously. And it's supposed to be like 8 degrees on Monday, so hopefully...
Just missed it.
Yeah, hopefully you haven't soured. Oh, the most important question. We were talking a little bit on the internet before. Sure. What have you eaten since you got here?
Oh, wow. I went to a place called Duke's Refresher and Bar, which was equidistant between where I was and where Matt Velasquez was.
Okay.
So we both decided that we could walk and brave it. So we walked there. And our rule is on the road that if you walk, then that means you can eat worse.
Hell yeah.
So if you Uber, then you know you got to watch yourself.
Right.
But if you walk, you can let yourself go a little bit. So we had a little poutine. It was delicious. We split that like an adorable couple. so we had that. And then today I had... Burrito Banditos.
One of the more noble chains, I would say. They're pretty good.
It was fantastic. It was a great burrito, and you know, it felt very Toronto. Mm-hmm. Because it was like the multicultural experience you'd expect in Toronto, because as I walked in, they were blaring Mac Miller's Tiny Desk Concert, which was just a strange thing to walk into. An Asian woman took my order.
Mm-hmm.
There was a black guy in the grill.
Yeah.
And then a French woman was the one that was like putting the things on my burrito. So it was like this perfect like Toronto, like that.
Toronto owns, man.
It's the best. It is the absolute best.
I hope
best.
You get to come back here in May where it's
I would love to.
Like 15 degrees out.
Yes.
Sometimes. Maybe there'll be some frostbite warning overnight, but.
That's okay.
but
I've been through worse.
Yeah, no, it should be. I hope that's what happens. I'm sick of the Celtics, man. The Celtics don't deserve anything good. The Sixers hate each other and are drama queens. I would like to see the Raptors and Bucks at the conference finals.
I'm with you.
It's a tough matchup. It would be terrifying.
It'd be,
going up against Giannis is...
7 games of just butt-clenching.
Yeah, like, just what Danny Green had tonight for 7 games.
Oh,
yeah.
I walked right into that one.
Yeah, this was good, man. It's good to have you on.
I appreciate it.
I'm sure reconvene if the playoffs lead that direction.
That would
you're
be
back
great.
Here. So you're Eric Name at Eric Name
at Eric underscore Name NEHM on the last name.
You didn't get
name.
The original Eric Name.
No, I like the way it looks better.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't like just.
I mean, I can't talk. I have at Woodley Sean because Sean Woodley's taken by some dude in Australia who has like a follower.
It's messed up.
It's a bummer. I hate it. So that's where you can find us. You can find Locked On Bucks and Locked On Raptors on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, all the places you get your podcasts. Please subscribe to those podcasts. Please subscribe to all the other podcasts as well. And your ratings and reviews really do matter. They're great for algorithms and making us feel good and making us more visible. So thank you so much for taking the time to do that. And that's going to do it. Thank you so much for listening to Locked On Buck Tours.
Sure.
Sure. Why not? Have a good night, everybody. Cheers.